Let's read together 1 Kings chapter 6. In this chapter, we have the description and the construction of the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem built by King Solomon. Let's begin our study by reading verse 1 of this chapter. And it came to pass in the 480th year after the children of Israel had come out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month of Ziv, which is the second month, that he began to build the house of the Lord. Let's consider a few background notes. 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 1 is a very important verse in the Bible in reference to the date of the Exodus. A simple calculation from the chronological data in this verse would give a date of the Exodus about 1446 BC. All of the so-called evidence for a later date of the Exodus can be adequately explained in support of this early date of 1446 BC. We read in the last verse of this chapter that the temple took 7 years to build. This was the beautiful temple of Solomon, known as the first Jewish temple. The temple was an important part of Israel's government and religion. This is why it is more proper to refer to this temple as the Lord's temple rather than Solomon's temple. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points. Doctrinal point number one, the temple was the focus of God's relationship with Israel. The temple was the focus of God's relationship with Israel. Let's read verses 2 through 22. Now the house which King Solomon built for the Lord, its length was 60 cubits, its width 20, and its height 30 cubits. The vestibule in front of the sanctuary of the house was 20 cubits long across the width of the house, and the width of the vestibule extended 10 cubits from the front of the house. And he made for the house windows with beveled frames. Against the wall of the temple he built chambers all around, against the walls of the temple all around the sanctuary and the inner sanctuary. Thus he made side chambers all around it. The lowest chamber was 5 cubits wide, the middle was 6 cubits wide, and the third was 7 cubits wide, for he made narrow ledges around the outside of the temple, so that the support beams would not be fastened into the walls of the temple. And the temple, when it was built with stone finished at the quarry, so that no hammer or chisel or any iron tool was heard in the temple while it was being built. The doorway for the middle story was on the right side of the temple. They went up by stairs to the middle story, and from the middle to the third. So he built the temple and finished it, and he paneled the temple with beams and boards of cedar. And he built side chambers against the entire temple, each 5 cubits high. They were attached to the temple with cedar beams. Then the word of the Lord came to Solomon, saying, concerning this temple which you are building, if you walk in my statutes, execute my judgments, keep all my commandments, and walk in them, then I will perform my word with you, which I spoke to your father David. And I will dwell among the children of Israel, and will not forsake my people Israel. So Solomon built the temple and finished it. And he built the inside walls of the temple with cedar boards. From the floor of the temple to the ceiling he paneled the inside with wood. And he covered the floor of the temple with planks of cypress. Then he built the 20-cubit room at the rear of the temple. From floor to ceiling with cedar boards, he built it inside as the inner sanctuary, as the most holy place. And in front of it, the temple sanctuary was 40 cubits long. The inside of the temple was cedar, carved with ornamental buds and open flowers. All was cedar. There was no stone to be seen. And he prepared the inner sanctuary inside the temple to set the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord there. The inner sanctuary was 20 cubits long, 20 cubits wide, and 20 cubits high. He overlaid it with pure gold, and overlaid the altar of cedar. So Solomon overlaid the inside of the temple with pure gold. He stretched gold chains across the front of the inner sanctuary and overlaid it with gold. The whole temple he overlaid with gold until he had finished all the temple. Also he overlaid with gold the entire altar that was by the inner sanctuary. The temple was 90 feet long, 30 feet wide, and 45 feet high, twice as large as the tabernacle. Remember, a cubit is 18 inches, or 1.5 feet in length. Like the tabernacle, the temple was divided into the holy place and the inner sanctuary or holy of holies. The holy of holies was a cube, 30 feet by 30 feet by 30 feet. The temple also had a 30-foot vestibule or porch. And then there were three stories of rooms surrounding and adjoining the temple. These were for storage and for the service of the priests. The temple was constructed of white limestone blocks, lined with cedar wood, and then the whole interior covered with gold. It was a beautiful building. You know, if you go to the Egypt Museum in Cairo today, your breath is taken away when you see all the gold that was in King Tut's tomb. This was nothing compared to the gold and grandeur of Israel's temple. Not only was the temple a beautiful building, it was the focus of God's relationship with Israel. The temple was the center and focus of the government of Israel. It was the center of Israel's political life. This was because Israel was a theocracy. God governed Israel. The king was only the representative who carried out God's will. God dwelt in the midst of his people, and the temple was where his presence was focused. This was the meeting place between God and his people Israel. Not only was the temple the center of government in Israel, it was the center of worship in Israel as well. The religious life of Israel was centered about the temple. The temple was where the people brought their sacrifices. The temple was where the singers and musicians appointed by David praised the Lord with song and music. See 1 Chronicles 25 in this connection. The temple was where the blood of the atoning sacrifice was brought into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement and placed on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. Thus the sins of the nation were covered and the relationship between God and Israel was maintained. The temple was the focus of God's relationship with Israel. Doctrinal point number two. The temple was a figure of God's fellowship with the church. The temple was a figure of God's fellowship with the church. Let's read verses 23 through 38. Inside the inner sanctuary, he made two cherubim of olive wood, each 10 cubits high. One wing of the cherub was 5 cubits, and the other wing of the cherub 5 cubits, 10 cubits from the tip of one wing to the tip of the other. And the other cherub was 10 cubits. Both cherubim were of the same size and shape. The height of one cherub was 10 cubits, and so was the other cherub. Then he set the cherubim inside the inner room, and they stretched out the wings of the cherubim so that the wing of the one touched one wall, and the wing of the other cherub touched the other wall. And their wings touched each other in the middle of the room. Also he overlaid the cherubim with gold. Then he carved all the walls of the temple all around, both the inner and outer sanctuaries, with carved figures of cherubim, palm trees, and open flowers. And the floor of the temple he overlaid with gold, both the inner and outer sanctuaries. For the entrance of the inner sanctuary he made doors of olive wood. The lintel and doorposts were 1/5 of the wall. The two doors were of olive wood, and he carved on them figures of cherubim, palm trees, and open flowers, and overlaid them with gold, and he spread gold on the cherubim and on the palm trees. So for the door of the sanctuary, he also made doorposts of olive wood, 1/4 of the wall. And the two doors were of cypress wood. Two panels comprised one folding door, and two panels comprised the other folding door. Then he carved cherubim, palm trees, and open flowers on them, and overlaid them with gold applied evenly on the carved work. And he built the inner court with 3 rows of hewn stone and a row of cedar beams. In the 4th year, the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid in the month of Ziv. And in the 11th year, in the month of Bul, which is the 8th month, the house was finished in all its details and according to all its plans. So he was 7 years in building it. The two angelic cherubim mentioned in these verses were not the two cherubim of the Ark of the Covenant. No, these were two large olive wood figures covered with gold that dominated the Holy of Holies where the Ark of the Covenant was placed. The Temple of Solomon's day prefigured the spiritual temple that God is building today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, we read, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" We see from the context here in 1 Corinthians 3 that this spiritual temple is the church. The Spirit of God dwells in the church. Many aspects of the church are pictured here in the description and construction of the temple. In verse 7, we read, "And the temple, when it was built with stones finished at the quarry, so that no hammer or chisel or any iron tool was heard in the temple while it was being built." The temple went up quietly. The stones were all shaped at the quarry and were put in their proper place in the temple without hammers and without noise. What a beautiful picture we have here of the way that our Lord is quietly building his church today. Believers are living stones shaped by God for their special function and added to the spiritual house that God is building. Listen to the words of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. "You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." And then we read in 1 Kings 6, 22, "The whole temple he overlaid with gold until he had finished all the temple. Also he overlaid with gold the entire altar that was by the inner sanctuary." Gold in the Bible speaks of God's divine righteousness and glory. Every member of the spiritual temple that God is building today is covered with gold, as it were. We're clothed with the righteousness of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that we have become the righteousness of God in Christ. The purpose of the temple was so that God could dwell in the midst of his people and have fellowship with them. The Spirit of God indwells his spiritual temple today. In the church, there is fellowship between God and his people. The temple was a figure of God's fellowship with the church. Now, what about practical application? Finish the work that God gives you to do. Finish the work that God gives you to do. In verse 14, we read, "So Solomon built the temple and finished it." I love this verse. Solomon finished the work that the Lord gave him to do. Let me ask you, do we finish the work that the Lord gives us to do? Now, this question can be applied in a couple of different ways. It can be applied to our life's work. As the Apostle Paul said in Colossians 4:17, "Take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it." We can also make an application to our day-by-day Christian service. Do we finish the work we take on and the work we commit ourselves to? Or do we quit halfway through? Do we let other believers down because we don't show up and we don't finish the job? Do we shirk our responsibilities? Solomon took on a big job for the Lord and he finished it. What about us? Finish the work that God gives you to do.